I want you to know that the less effort I've put into this podcast, almost seemingly the better our numbers have gotten.
That's actually terrifying to me.
So I'm just gonna start releasing our fucking raw audio. I'm not even gonna edit it together. Like, I'm gonna put my raw audio and then your raw audio one after the other.
And it's up to the listener to kind of think about where each thing would go.
Right, exactly.
That would be a fun Patreon thing where we just release both of our audio and like the patrons get to edit it together into what they think it should sound like, and then we release
Yeah, it'd be really fun if like our
Yeah, if we just
Patreon
like
subscribers just like edited the
if we made
podcast
people pay to do our labor.
for
It's kind of think of it as an unpaid internship.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway, before I was so fucking rudely interrupted.
Sorry.
1, 2, 3, 4, go!
Falling in love is such an easy thing to do. Girls can do it,
yeah.
Please can do it.
Yeah.
Let's stop talking,
yeah.
Let's get to it. Let's fall in love.
I just hit record.
So weird. You'll never guess what I just did.
Poop your
I unplugged my
pants.
mic and threw it on the fucking ground because I don't want to do this.
Jesse, I know I told you this off mic, but I just want everyone to know. I legitimately had such a good weekend. I did a lot of Marie Kondoing,
Yeah.
moved a lot of furniture around. It was super fun. Revealed horrendous water damage in my apartment.
Horrendous.
Literally, like, someone compared it to Beetlejuice.
I don't know anything about Beetlejuice, so I can't comment, but I would compare it to a Dr. Pimple Popper video, for sure. It looks like if you squeezed, something would shoot out in a volcanic eruption of pus
Yeah.
and maybe blood.
So, anyway, my landlord told me someone would be by yesterday
Okay.
to look at it. What do you think?
I think that landlord got down there and checked it out themselves because landlords, if a landlord is one thing, it's a kind, caring individual who's just wants the best for people.
So I think you're forgetting that my landlord is Kristen Bell and Dax Shepard.
Oh, see, that's why I get such special treatment.
So that was fun. Also, I think it's like mostly gone now, but I had an ear infection and a cold.
Did Chloe know you had an ear infection because you kept covering your ears and saying, "Ow!"
Yeah, actually, I actually got an ear infection from watching the episode last week. No.
Honestly, understandable. That looked like a highly contagious strain.
Yesterday, when I was supposed to babysit, I texted and I was like, "Hey, just so you know, like I have an ear infection. Like I feel well enough to babysit, but I don't want to like infect you." And the mom texted me back and she was like, "Oh my God, we just got back from the doctor. The baby has an ear infection too." And I was like, "So that's where I got it."
No, you gave it to the baby, obviously.
Yeah,
You're at
obviously.
fault. I didn't know, and I do not mean this in any way offensively. I did not know adults could get ear
Oh,
infections.
yeah.
I fully thought that was something that you just stopped doing after you turned 3.
Yeah, I get ear infections all the time.
And you know what? That's really iconic of you.
I get ear infections and strep all the time. Like, those are the two things.
Did I ever tell you about my strep ass?
Yes, you've told me about your strep ass so many times. But I
I
do
always think
want
it's
you to
important to
know,
revisit the fact that I had strep on my ass.
I don't want anybody to actually think that I gave this baby an ear infection because this baby goes, first of all, he's not a baby, he's almost 3, but he goes to daycare, which famously, do you know what daycares are? Breeding grounds for ear
I was gonna
infections.
say a hot box for disease.
Yeah, so he gave it to me. And I want that on the record because I am suing.
Yes, as you should, as is your right, I will be representing you in a court of law.
That's awesome. I.
I wish I would have chosen to go to law school instead of cosmetology school looking back, but like I think this is a good chance for me to try it out.
Yeah, I think it's good. I think that about sums up everything exciting that's happened to me. What's going on with you? Because my stuff is really a lot more important than yours.
That is really true. I had things to tell you and I can't remember what they were. I'm running on 3.5 hours of sleep.
Hot.
I stayed out until, some would say 4 a.m. this morning, forgetting that I had therapy at 9:30 a.m. So I went to bed and I woke up 3 hours later. There was a part of me that was like, why don't I just stay up, you know? That just hit the sack after.
Right. And that would be the part of your brain that you don't listen to.
Exactly, because that would have even further fucked my sleep schedule, and I didn't want to do that.
Are you going to go to bed early tonight, though? Like, maybe like 9 p.m.?
Yeah, I think I'm going to try to go to bed by 9. This is a joke because we're recording at 9 p.m.
It's actually 9:06. God.
I really liked our afternoon records.
I mean, we can go back to them.
We don't have to.
Sunday afternoons?
I work.
Well, that is not... not gonna happen. Sounds like then.
Not my problem. Anywho, I'm just running on little sleep. Yesterday I had kind of a lazy day for the first part.
Oh good.
I read this book that I was like, you know, I started reading this book that's kind of like so-so, but like one of my friends recommended it to me, so I'm kind of hanging in there and hoping it gets better.
It's a book that I recommended, isn't it?
Have you checked my Goodreads lately?
No.
Okay, then I'm not going to say anything.
What are you reading?
Don't worry about it.
Should I check your Goodreads right now?
I want you to know how much I value your friendship.
Do you know how many people I'm friends with on Goodreads?
Okay, brag.
Okay, I just clicked on you. I'm reading this book about Dietrich Bonhoeffer. It's... ugh. Yerba Buena. It's so good.
Have you read my status update?
No, let me see. Not really feeling it so far. Psych. Just wanted to freak out my dear friend Aaron. So far, I'm enraptured. Thank God. Oh my God.
Plot twist. I'm really enjoying it.
Oh my God. Literally, one of... my friends texted me yesterday at noon and said, I just started Yerba Buena. And I said, oh, cool. This morning, because I'm terrible at texting back, we all know. And she replied, yeah, I finished it last night. So.
Yeah, I would have finished. My plan was to finish it, but then I got roped into some nonsense and I was social last night, which was gross.
Disgusting.
And I haven't had a chance to sit down, and I read like, I'm like halfway through the book.
It's
like I
sat so down, good.
I was like, I'm just gonna read a couple pages, and then I kept on being like, well, I can read one more section, and like, I wasn't expecting it to start on such like a fucking bummer of a note. I will say,
yeah.
I felt inadequately prepared for that.
You've obviously never read a Nina LaCour book.
No,
they're all fucking bummers, but you know,
that's, you know, that would have been really good information before I read it.
Sorry.
But no, I'm about, I mean, I have it right here, I can see. Yeah, I'm about halfway through.
That is awesome.
As soon as I get a second to read again, I will probably finish it. I'm in my book era. I finished 3 books, like, just this week.
Listen, I'm in my book era, too. I've been finishing books. Mostly because I subscribe to Book of the Month. We all know this.
Oh my
this.
God. I subscribe to Book of the Month.
And
I haven't touched any of my books since last October.
Yeah, first of all, I've been a member of Book of the Month since 2017. I've been a member for 5 years.
Since they, like, revived it, basically.
And most of the books I had not read before last summer. And last summer I was like, it's going to be my book of the month summer. I'm going to read a bunch of my book of the months. And then this summer I'm doing it again. So I've just read this one about the mob. Honestly, I picked it because it sounded stupid. It advertised female friendship, which I was like, okay, queer baiting. It was about the mob?
I know what book you're talking about, but I can't think of the title. I can see the cover in my head.
The Family?
Yes, that's the exact book I was thinking of.
Honestly, I loved it. Was it gay at all? Depends how you interpret it.
The mafia is inherently queer.
Right.
The mafia has been queering the law since its inception, so... Right.
So, I just want to say, you know, I really enjoyed that book. All right, let's do this.
I did not get to talk about anything of my week.
You said you couldn't remember.
There was nothing to tell, but it just felt, it hurt my heart.
I literally gave you an opportunity.
I don't remember that. That's not how I remember it, and I will be sticking to my narrative and my truth.
Okay, let's do this for real. Welcome to Secret Life of Two Gay American Teenagers. My name is Aaron.
My name is Jesse.
Today we are covering season 4, episode 5. We're finally out of the door metaphor.
And into the glory hole metaphors.
Yeah. A hole in the wall.
I saw an ad for one of these on Grindr the other week.
And... let's see. Let me pull up my notes. Who the fuck is this episode? Okay, this episode was directed by Keith Truesdell, written by Brenna Hampton. It has her stink all over it.
Oh my god. Including the complete backtracking of several characters to right. where they have the opposite views. Again, this keeps happening.
Literally because Paul Perlov wrote the last episode.
Every time someone who's not Brenna Hampton writes it, she like suplexes them and starts changing everything that they wrote because it's not what she was envisioning.
I want an episode of Malcolm Gladwell's podcast Revisionist History exclusively about this writer's room.
I would kill if anyone could get me in touch with Paul Perlov. I need him on this podcast. Honestly,
I want to interview every person who had a hand in writing the show because I want to know.
Who directed this episode also?
Keith Truesdell.
Keith Truesdell, I need to know what he told Megan Park throughout this episode. That's all I need to know.
I need to know why do the slow pan backwards in the middle of the fucking episode if it's not the end of the episode.
This episode ended 4 times.
Truly. So, it aired to 2.69 million viewers. On July 11th, 2011.
And none of those people are seeing heaven.
Yeah. Would you like to go first, or do you want me to go first for biblical context?
I can go first.
Okay, go for it.
Mine is from our favorite news source, the New York Post. Jeez. Wow. This debuted on 7-Eleven, you said, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so the headline is... YouTube giggles for gamers. Q. What do you get when you combine kids who have mad video editing skills, with a Z, with gaming? A. Silly shorts for gamers with a healthy respect for goofy things, .. And cats, parentheses. Not LOL cats, though. Sorry, end parentheses. Did you know sometimes gamers like to get a little silly?
Yeah.
And sometimes they like to post their little goofs on YouTube. So that apparently warrants a news article.
I actually do know that because I am dating a gamer.
Wait, Chloe's a gamer?
Gamer spelled G-A-Y-M-E-R.
Oh my god.
Yeah, currently she's playing Fish Tycoon. And I'm not even lying to you.
I don't know what that is.
It's where you literally have like a aquarium tank and you breed fish together.
Okay.
And then you sell them.
I have so much respect for Chloe and I need you to know that. This sounds like a game for fish perverts.
Jesse says it sounds like a game for fish perverts.
Well, don't tell her that. Which fish would you think is, like, the most submissive and breedable? in your opinion? Can you ask Chloe? Can we get her answer?
You don't watch the fish have sex. And also,
oh, okay.
The way that fish eggs are fertilized, because we learned this, is that the females lay them, and then the males come in, like, you know.
I think that's how Pokemon eggs are also fertilized. It hasn't been confirmed in canon yet, but I'm pretty sure that's it.
We have a friend who's very, you know, just, like, knowledgeable about animals and birds and plants and stuff. And so we asked her questions, and she said if it has a hard shell, it's fertilized in the animal. And if it has a soft shell, it's fertilized out. It's like lobsters and like, crabs.
Human eggs have a soft shell.
Well, we're not talking about humans.
Oh, are we just talking about like external egg layers?
Yeah.
So hard shell is internally fertilized, yeah. Soft shell is externally.
Yeah.
I guess because, like, the semen would need to permeate the membrane.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway. That was the most scientific this podcast will ever be. I want that made clear right now. We are never doing that shit again.
So, I don't know. It's fun, right? Fish Tycoon's fun? Yeah, she's having a great time.
I'm really happy. That sounds fun.
Thank you
for sharing. Was it executive produced by Guillermo del Toro?
Is that the person who did The Shape of Water?
It sure is.
I've never seen that movie, but I understood the reference, so I think I should get points.
That's my favorite movie about Paddington's adopted mother fucking a fish.
Is that Kate Blanchett?
No.
Who is it? Nicole Kidman?
No.
Another white woman?
Don't keep guessing, because this is gonna make me angry.
Wait. Give me a... Reese Witherspoon? No, it's not Reese Witherspoon. It's someone who can do a British accent.
It's a British woman. This is actually, like, this is kind of a bit, but I'm also, like, genuinely so hurt.
You know I've never seen Paddington.
It's Sally Hawkins.
Are you serious?
Yes.
I thought she was American.
Oh my god, if she is, I'm gonna feel like an ass.
All right, my article is, I branched out. I'm tired of doing the New York Times, everyone. Their articles are too serious. And there's, you know what? This is actually a political statement because there's too much bias in the New York Times.
That's really true.
Bias for being boring and other bias too. Okay, blah, blah, blah. So I did go to the New York Post as well.
Welcome to the dark side.
I wonder if you saw this article. Brooklyn mom ordered to pay back $82,000 she stole from PTA with interest.
Can we ring the alarm for a girl boss?
The Brooklyn mom who embezzled $82,000 from the PTA at her daughter's school will have to pay interest and the school's expenses in order to get her jail-free plea deal.
Oh my god. Lori Loughlin really has come a long way.
This is Kristen Bell.
What do we think Kristen Bell's college admission scandal will be? She will have one. We know this already. What do we think it will be specifically?
I think she's, because both of her daughters are blonde.
Yes.
She's going to try to get them to both go to college under one name, even though they're different ages.
So she only has to pay for one of them.
Right.
That's really big. That's really good.
Yeah, I know. Okay. We've stalled enough. Let's get into the episode.
Must we?
So we start in Ricky and Amy's apartment. Ricky is sleeping on the couch, like, next to John's mattress. He wakes up, looks over.
John's empty mattress. Yeah. The fucker is gone.
He has been raptured. All that's left are his clothes.
You're joking, but I would love to see season 5 go that route.
Who do we think is getting raptured?
Grace is being left behind, and she's so confused about it.
I think Grant, right? Because he said he's never stepped foot in a church, but he knows more about Christianity.
Yes. Griffin will be reverse raptured. He will be sent directly to hell.
I'm saying it. George raptured. Moose
immediately.
Reverse raptured.
And that's, well, all dogs go to heaven though.
No, but that's on calling the cops.
That's true.
Yeah. Okay. So we start in the apartment, Ricky, blah blah blah. John is not in bed. Ricky goes in, like, goes into the bedroom. He's in the bed with Amy. Amy is fucking asleep, and John is just sitting there awake.
Yeah. He's playing with his little blocks, probably.
He got to say his one line of the episode.
What was it? Hi, Daddy?
I think it was just Daddy. There's, like, this whole conversation about how, like, Ricky as Daddy wants to sleep with Mommy, not, like, John. And Amy's like, he can be with me anytime he wants.
And he's like, you can call me Jocasta the way, what's their son's name?
Who are you talking about?
Jocasta?
I don't know who that is.
The mother of Oedipus.
Oh.
I read a book about Greek mythology and it's kind of in there right now and I can't unlodge it.
So they like come up with this plan that they're gonna like switch rooms with John, so they're gonna put their bed in the living room and John's like, they're gonna use the bedroom as John's room. Great.
Yes, and they seem like they've really discussed this and this is a thing that they've both agreed to do. I do think it's important to note right now that it seems pretty solid that this is what they both want to do.
Right. They talk about getting a sofa bed, so that way, you know, whatever. Ricky is feeling stressed out because there's so much stuff in the apartment. A lot of toys for John because, you know, babies come with things.
Yeah. Who would have thought?
But Ricky likes to be clean and organized. And Amy is like, can we not talk about this right now? Like, can I just have a few minutes to wake up?
I think that's a valid request.
And then she's like, do you need a little space? Like, I can go do laundry and, like, accidentally fall asleep at my dad's house. Which I would argue is much different than, like, threatening to run away to her dad's house.
No, it's very sweet and being like, you're not used to having us here all the time and you seem stressed. Would this help you?
Yeah. Then, like, Ricky walks away, Amy says something to John, like, he's grumpy or something, and then she yells, like, I love you to him, and he comes back and says, I'm sorry, I love you too, and then she asks if something's going on with Adrian, and we find out Adrian called Ricky, but he hit ignore, and now Amy is in a bad mood too.
Sure.
Cut immediately to Rolling in the Deep.
This
who genuine did this, question. Who did the sound engineering for this episode? I just want
to
talk.
Brenda Hampton know how you're supposed to do a music drop? That's the first question. The second question is, did they get some kind of like fucking deal if they didn't use the chorus?
Yeah.
Which most powerful part of the song by far. And it cuts immediately when we get to that part.
I also think it's so funny because in the radio edit of this song, right, when they were playing this song on the episode, the part where she says, lay your ship bare, they always bleep out ship because they think it's shit for some reason.
Yes.
But they didn't on this episode, which is just funny to me.
Barely anyway. Cuss.
So
anyway, Adrian is like aggressively walking in like a pink sweatsuit to just the verse of Rolling in the Deep.
There's a fire
starting in my heart.
And then it just cuts out abruptly and immediately goes to the theme.
To the point where I thought there was something wrong with my television set.
And
I was like,
oh,
did my iPod start playing Rolling in the Deep?
And you might think, oh my goodness, this fade out of this music was so bad. It happens again.
And it happens arguably worse.
Yeah.
See, can I say, this is jumping ahead to the end, but I thought at that point, they were going to let it build to that soaring chorus, you know, the money part, the part everyone wants to hear, because it kind of shows that it's been building all episode. But no, they cut it right before the best part of the song a second time, which leads me to think Adele cut them a deal where it was like, you can use my song, but if you touch the chorus, I will end you.
Yeah.
Baffling.
Do you have an alter-
This makes me more angry than Wilhelmina Bink wasting Love Story on a mother-daughter dance.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about
that. Line dance alone. Oh, I need a drink after that.
Do you have,
an alternative theme?
Alternative theme?
Yes, it's just the chorus of Rolling in the Deep. I have never had such musical blue balls.
My alternative theme is, Take It Off by Kesha.
I think. Elaborate. Oh, never mind. Is it because it's a hole in the wall? It's a dirty free-for-all?
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly why. We're nothing if not literal here.
Yes. That's really good.
Thank
you. My other theme would have been Goodbye Earl, but it would be Goodbye Ben. And all the lyrics would be changed to be a story of how Adrian fucking murders Ben.
Good for her.
Good for her.
Okay, we go to the condo. Adrian is sitting in the nursery that we've literally never seen before.
But she spends all of her time in it, allegedly.
Ben comes in, they have a conversation about the room. Adrian finds it comforting to sit in there. She feels like, you know, Mercy was, like, never supposed to live on this earth. She's, like, coming to terms with it. And she asks if Ben would mind if she went away to school for real. And he's like, no, he's a snake.
Yes, he is a two-faced, low-down, two-bit whore.
Yeah. Then he goes over to the crib after Adrian has, like, walked out, and he picks up this, like, stuffed bear, and he, like, looks at it, and then he puts it back down. I really thought he was gonna, like, rip the head off or something.
Yes. Definitely.
Because he is coming unhinged, but he did not. Okay, we go to the Ulysses S. Grant School. Ben approaches Amy and Grace. They all talk about Adrian. Amy and Grace are like, she really should not go to cosmetology school. And then Ben is like, but she should. And he makes them promise not to discourage Adrian. And Grace is like, I promise. And Amy says she can't do that. And Ben is like, thanks, Grace. I knew I could count on you. And the subtext there is, Amy, you're a bitch.
Yeah, you're a bitch for not trying to manipulate my wife into leaving me so I don't have to leave her.
Right. Ben walks away. Grace tells Amy that this whole thing was devised by Adrian to be a test. And then Amy reveals to Grace that Adrian called Ricky. Then, you know, speak of the devil, Adrian calls Amy. They talk about how she called Ricky. And Amy is like, I don't care, like he can call you back if he wants. And Adrian has a big ask for her and Grace, which is, yes.
Never mind, we'll touch on that later.
Okay.
The big ask is, can you come disassemble the nursery?
Yeah. So it's going to go to the church nursery. Fern is taking the mic right now. What do you have to say? No, don't step on the keyboard.
Yes, preach. Fight the power. Fight the authority. Rise up against the fascist that is Aaron.
That is so rude. I forgot to give her her Prozac. Aww. So... Okay, get away from me. I love you. Go away. Amy asks a clarifying question because Adrian wants this done today. And she's like, is Ben okay with this? And Adrian says yes.
Yes. Well, her exact words are, he would have done it before I got home from the hospital if I'd let him. So he should be.
Yeah. We go to Leo's office. The elevator doors open and he is greeted by Nora, who gives him coffee and the Wall Street Journal with all articles involving meat highlighted. How many articles in the Wall Street Journal every day are about meat?
I genuinely think there's none, and that's why she said it, so she'd look like a better assistant.
She asks the question, how do you make that sausage? And he's like, why? No one has asked that question since Camille. Camille left, like, Two weeks ago. Yeah.
Yeah, what do you mean, no one? How many assistants has he gone through?
Yeah.
We only know the assistant he'd like to go through, and that's Camille, am I right?
You are right. So then Ben calls. Nora answers the phone. He wants to talk to Leo. She says Leo stepped into a meeting. He's not available. And then Leo, like, puts Ben on speakerphone and hears that Ben says he can't come to dinner tonight. Leo's mad because, like, Betty told on Ben that, like, he's letting Adrian go to cosmetology school in New York or whatever.
Where did Betty hear this from? From Adrian? Are they in touch?
Well, Betty says, if you're not going to make me a mob wife, I'm going to become my own mob wife. Bugged their condo.
Yes.
Right.
She has her own whisper network, and it's just the bugs that she put in the condo.
Right. Ben hangs up on Leo. Doesn't want to have this conversation.
Yeah. I don't know which of them I dislike more right now. Like, I do dislike Ben more. I shouldn't say that. But Leo's also been really grinding my gears.
Yeah, he's being annoying. So... Caitlin O'Malley comes up to Ben. He's sitting on a bench... And she, like, wants to have this heart-to-heart with him. She asks the age-old question, how are you? The...
No. No, how are you?
That's the way fucking Christians ask each other when they, like, go out to coffee.
Hey, how's your heart?
Yeah. What?
Is there anything what? I can pray for you about?
Yeah, what has God really been laying on your heart lately? His ass.
I just start crying. I just burst into tears.
So, she wants to talk to Ben about a rumor that's going around school, and she says something about how Ben is an honorable man, and he shouldn't do anything dishonorable.
And who is Brenda Hampton talking to that she thinks so many people just throw around phrases like an honorable man?
Yeah. And... like, they start talking about how this is personal and, like, she's crossed a boundary. And then we find out something that we shouldn't find out about Caitlin. Yes.
Do we think she's crossed a boundary by telling him maybe, by trying to talk to him about his issues as the school counselor at this point?
Honestly, she's not the school counselor, though. She's a guidance counselor.
Is there a difference?
Yeah.
In pop culture, is there a difference?
Maybe not. But I'm just like...
because back at my school, that was one person.
I just like...
like, he was who you went to like, get college apps and also when you wanted to kill yourself.
From, like...
and he only did one of those things well for me, personally.
From, like, a therapy standpoint... if you hear, like, a rumor about a client, you can't, like, bring that up to them. Right?
Okay, yeah.
So.
Also, who's telling her these rumors?
honestly. She's starting them. Joe Hampton, actually.
Oh.
He's back, thank God.
And he's gotten hotter.
So, we find out this thing about Caitlyn, that this is her first job back after she lost a baby.
From SIDS.
Dark shit to just drop.
Really, yeah.
SIDS is very scary and very sad.
Very scary and very sad.
She talks about how she's still having a hard time and her husband left her after 18 months. He, like, drank a lot to deal with it. And Ben's like, well, I've dealt with it and I've done it sober.
Dick thing to say.
Also foreshadowing.
Yeah.
Ben tells Caitlyn to stay out of it. And she's like, says something about like getting out of his marriage. And he says, who said anything about getting out of my marriage? I don't know all the fucking lines because this is just like upsetting, but Ben says that, like, he didn't take away Adrienne's strength or her determination. Losing the baby did that. And then he asks the question, are we done? Because the bell rings. And Caitlyn has to be like, we're not done. We're finished.
That line felt like it was supposed to have some, like, deep emotional resonance. I don't know what the fuck that was about.
No.
Is she saying she's just not going to help Ben anymore? Because honestly, good for you. Yeah. Protect your peace first and foremost, Caitlin O'Malley.
Yeah. I don't know. Okay, so Ben goes back into the school. He talks to Alice and Henry about whatever, about how, who everyone knows. And Joe Hampton comes up and is like, yeah, everyone in the school knows that you're trying to get out of your marriage. 50% think you're a jerk and 50% think you're a coward. So, like, if you want to keep your good guy reputation, my advice is to stick around.
Let's be real. He never should have had that reputation to start with.
No. It's horrible. Ben asks Alice and Henry, who would have thought freshman year would have been his best? Good question. Then we go to Amy and Ricky in the hallway. Ricky talks about how it's creepy to donate, like, the stuff from Adrienne's nursery to, like, the church. Okay. And
Ricky
then
doesn't believe in any sort of, like, charity or helping people.
No.
No, he's a very, like, up the
bootstraps. Ricky thinks you should pull yourself up by your bootstraps, governor.
Mm-hmm. So, we find out that Ricky erased the message from Adrienne without listening to it. Great. We go to the butcher shop. Nora is again talking to Ben on the phone. Ben is in the butcher shop. Nora's in the office. Ben is talking about bailing on dinner. And Nora's like, it's my first day. I don't want to get fired for telling your dad that. Ricky comes up and tells Ben he needs to talk to him. Ben is essentially at his breaking point, right? And Nora's like, why don't you just go out to dinner with Leo, like, you know, do what you want after you, like, agree to whatever he says. And, like, you'll be fine. Leo's a pussycat. Leo walks in on her saying this, and he's like, and we were getting together so well.
Yeah, and she doubles down. She's like, hey there, pussycat.
Mm-hmm.
I love calling people pussycats as a term of endearment. I gotta say, bring it back.
My favorite, have you seen the movie or read the book, This Is Where I Leave You?
Yes.
Okay, my favorite line from the movie is when Quinn and Philip have a conversation. And Philip is like, well, Quinn, like, wouldn't have taken you for a slut. And she's like, well, it takes one to know one. And Philip just goes back, touche, pussycat.
So I'm going to say something right now.
Yes.
When you said, have you seen or read This Is Where I Leave You, I thought you were referring to the If I Stay book and movie by Gail Forman. Which I quickly realized this was not a part of.
No, I was talking about the Jonathan Tropper.
I have read that book as well, but I was just like, what the fuck are you talking about? Yeah. And then I thought about it for more than a second. I still haven't seen that movie. I read the book so I could see the movie, and I still have not seen the movie.
I own the movie. We can watch it.
Okay, that would be good. Tina Fey, isn't it, right?
Yeah, Tina Fey, Jason Bateman, Adam Driver.
I don't care about any of those.
Connie... What's
Connie Britton?
Yeah, from Nashville.
Oh my god, slay!
What's her name from Grace and Frankie? Jane Fonda.
So funny to refer to Jane Fonda as from Grace and Frankie.
Whatever, okay.
From Monster in Law, Jane Fonda.
From Little Fockers. I don't think she was in that movie, but...
She might have been. No, that was Streisand.
So...
Right?
No. I don't know. I've never seen Little Fockers.
It was bad. All this to say... I've been rewatching 30 Rock. Let's move along.
Oh, okay. Good. Working on my night cheese.
My muffin top is all that low grain, low fat. I know you want a piece of that, but I just want to dance.
When Elizabeth Banks gets stuck in North Korea.
Oh my god. That show, do you ever rewatch something and you're like, oh, this is why I'm like this?
Uh-huh.
Like, that's one of the shows I've rewatched recently that I'm like, okay, a lot of things are coming together now.
Yeah. I watched that show, like, my junior year of high school. Pretty formative.
I burst out into the Rural Juror song semi-frequently because it hits.
The Rural Juror?
The Rural Juror. The Barbara Walters interview on that is also iconic.
The whole thing's so good. Okay, okay.
Rachel Dratch played like 17 roles in that
show. Oh my god.
At first, and all of them were so funny. I love Rachel Dratch.
Rachel Dratch supremacy.
I'm coming out now as a Dratch stan. I'm a real Dratch head.
So... we go to outside the nursery because we'll never see the inside of this fucking place where Amy works, I guess.
It just struck me how odd it is that this church nursery is, like, a separate nursery from the church, apparently, because it's got, like, the rainbow-painted fences.
So, Amy and George share a phone call. George is with Mimsy. More confused than ever.
I'm more confused than ever. How do they decide if Mimsy is going to have Alzheimer's or not for an episode? You know, do they, like, flip a coin?
Yeah. If it's Brenda Hampton, she will. If it's anybody else, she won't.
Because she really... she... the last time she couldn't remember anything, we saw her two episodes later at the wedding. Spry. Fit. Fucking this hot man. And now we're seeing her at her worst again. So I don't know what we're supposed to believe, re-Mimsy.
Yeah, I don't know either. But essentially, so George is with Mimsy and Robbie at Anne's, you know, condo or whatever. Amy asks if she can go over to do laundry. And then he's like, what else do you need? And she's like, well, we need a sofa bed because it's safer for John to sleep in his own room. George says no. Amy cries. He says yes. They hang up.
Why did she cry? Was that, like, sheer manipulation or was she really overwhelmed? I couldn't tell.
Honestly, I read it as manipulation. And good for her.
Okay. Honestly, yes. We stan a scammer.
Yeah. Then, like, Mimsy and George have a conversation. She doesn't know who George is, and then she doesn't know who that she has a daughter named Anne, and she asks if Anne is the woman who set the fire in her apartment. I don't know what's going on there.
She asks if Anne is the baby she found sleeping in her knife drawer.
So... you know, no, the baby could only stay in that drawer for, you know, you'd have to clear out a dresser drawer. So...
That's... just remember that I need to be put in a home the second I forget the use of drawers and dressers and think they're for babies.
We go to the other nursery, which is the one in Amy and Ben's condo. Daniel and Grace are, like, working to take the crib out. Adrian comes in. Daniel leaves. Discussion about how Daniel's hot. Grace shows that she has a healthy view of dating because she's like, I don't know how long this will last, but I'm enjoying it while it does last. Some growth for her. Grace asks Adrian, what made you decide to do this today? And Adrian says she went on a walk and she decided she's going to have another baby. By this time next year, they'll have a baby and that's what's going to get her through this.
Megan Park is doing some brilliant facial acting throughout this scene.
Grace promises not to tell Ben, which she did, you know, we've learned her promises don't mean much.
Yeah, that's what a part of me was like, did they have the scene earlier where Grace tells Amy that a promise isn't real just so that they'd show that this promise also wasn't real?
Yeah.
The foreshadowing of a hammer 2 feet above a nail, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if that sentence made sense, and we're going to move on as if it did.
Okay,
need this. I need a win. I need a fucking win. I can't tell you, okay?
So, Ricky and Ben are at the butcher shop. Ben is avoiding Ricky. Ricky spills that, like, Adrian is getting rid of all the nursery stuff today. Okay. We go to Ben and Adrian at the condo. Ben comes in. He rushes in. He's still wearing his apron from the butcher shop. And he starts just absolutely fucking yelling at Adrian.
Oh my god. This scene was horrible to watch.
It was so bad. So painful.
I hated it.
So he basically is like, you haven't even thought of me for 1 minute through this. And then
patently false, first of all.
Right. And then she's like, or, you know, he just yells at her. And then he, like, asks where Mr. Bear is. And we find out this stuffed animal was from his mom. It's the last thing he has left from her, which he has obviously not shared with Adrian before this moment. And then he calls her selfish. He says, you are so selfish. And not in the cool, sweet way where... the Swede has, you know, the strawberries, and he needs bananas.
I am the Swede who went to the top of the hill and took all the strawberries.
I love
them. Well, aren't you going to eat them?
If you've seen the episode, that's a really good impression. I want to throw that out there right now. That
is a really good impression.
I've been honing that since I was 3 years old. For a time, I could recite that whole sketch. And that's what it was. It was a sketch.
Yeah.
Line for line.
VeggieTales was the original sketch show.
Honestly.
So, then we go... Okay, so then we just, like, go off the deep end, right? He calls... Adrian, he says, you're so selfish. I didn't want to marry you. I didn't want to have sex with you. Basically, you made me do those things. And when Mercy died, it killed something in him, which was that, like, a good thing could come out of the bad thing that they did, because we did do a bad thing. Cheating on Amy and Ricky was a bad thing. We deserved to lose that baby. I deserved to anyway. Like, Amy loved me and I, like, fucked it up. Bro, you literally cheated on Amy with Maria, like, the summer before.
Yes. You cheated on her twice. So, yes, you did fuck it up. But don't act like this was... She would have gotten wise to you at some point anyway.
Yeah. So then Ben leaves to go get Mr. Bear. and Adrian just punches a fucking hole in the wall. And I hate everything about this.
Yeah. It's so inaccurate that she would be the one punching a hole in the wall.
Yeah.
It should have been Ben.
I'm presuming that there's a commercial break here.
Yes.
And without it, the tonal shift is just...
This show does need to be watched with commercials for several reasons. The widely varying tone.
Yeah.
The fact that you just need 2 minutes to put your head in your hands between each scene.
Yeah, that's fair.
Was Ashley in this episode at all?
No.
Okay, let's keep it that way for a while. Sorry, I just thought of that.
Yeah. So we're, like, outside the nursery again. Amy is putting John in the car and talking on the phone to Ricky. Ricky, like, got the couch. He's mad that it's from her dad and they didn't pay for it. And he's like,
who told you to get a sofa couch or a couch bed?
They literally talked about it. Also, Amy just shut the door on John in the car and, like, walked away to talk to Ricky on the phone. Not a good idea.
That's girl boss in the not good way. That's girl boss derogatory.
So, he says something about how, like, we're supposed to be grown-ups. We're not supposed to have, like, any help from our parents. Which, honestly...
Banish that thinking right now.
I do want to say, just if I can get in my soapbox for a minute.
I would love that.
I know so many leftist people who grew up very privileged with money, and now they, like, denounce their parents' wealth. And it's like, no, take everything you can from your parents and redistribute it. If they're not going to redistribute it.
Yeah.
Right? There's no shame in, like, taking help from your parents, especially if they have, like, more money than you. That's literally... Like, look at Dakota Johnson. Why does she have any jobs? Nepotism.
I personally think that Hollywood is a meritocracy, so, like, I can't really comment on that. But I do agree, like, if you have family willing to help and they're not doing it in a, like, manipulative, hold it over your head kind of way, like, there's no shame in taking money, especially if you can take it and do something good with it.
Yeah. So.
I take my parents' money and I use it on cocaine. And then I redistribute this dick.
Anyway.
You can cut all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I just do think there's this, like, weird thing where it's, like, you're supposed to do everything on your own. And, like, especially not, like, if you grew up with money, you're supposed to, like, refuse to take it and, like, struggle or whatever. But, like...
I don't think... Struggling is so romanticized. You don't have to struggle if you're not in a situation that requires struggle. Like, that's not a required thing. You're not a better person for having struggled, and you're not a better person for not having struggled.
Right. Just listen to the song The Snail by Lucy Dacus.
Just listen to the song...
The Shell.
Listen to the song Rent by Big Freedia.
Yeah, hell yeah.
My favorite song about redistributing wealth. Yeah.
So, anyway, okay. She says just to go because Ben just pulled up to the parking lot. Amy is back to touching her hair. She's back in her hair-touching era.
And we're glad to see it.
That's kind of, you know, for a while we saw her acting get better, but being on the show has, you know, just, like, caused it maybe to get worse again.
The direction in this episode made a lot of unforgivable choices, we'll say.
Amy asks Ben if he wants his things back, and he says, yeah, there's one thing I want back. Obviously, he's talking about fucking Amy, because she's a thing. Women are property.
I've been saying this. Women are property of God, who loves them and cherishes them equally to men.
That was, like, kind of... a worse save.
I would love a woman to idolize, to adore, to step on my throat.
So, Amy pulls Mr. Bear out of her bag, and he is like, you know, amazed that she remembered that this is important to him. They talked about it, whatever. She Which, says... Like,
maybe this wouldn't have happened if he'd ever had a conversation with Adrian.
Right. And... She apologizes. He says, like, it doesn't really matter. He's not sure anything matters at all. He's in his nihilistic phase. He asks Amy what happened to us. Like, I really loved you and John. And she says that she loved him. And she was like, but it was never going to work out between us. And he's like, well, let me just remind you that the relationship you're in right now is doomed. And Ricky is a bad guy. And people can never grow, actually.
And let's just remind... I was waiting for her to remind him that he cheated on her twice.
Right. So then we go to Anne's condo. George and Anne are, like, holding dinner. She's, like, very depressed about this whole situation with Mimsy. Mimsy's getting worse, and she has to be moved to an Alzheimer's wing. So she is, like, you know, all the care that she should have. Because I think that is important.
Yeah.
And George, you know, asks if it would be helpful if he, like, came up and helped out a few days a week. And nights, wink, wink, wink.
What kind of help do you think he's going to offer at night?
Dick riding.
He's going to ride dick? Honestly, good for him. Like, that's... I think that's really kind of him to offer. Like, not many men are willing to put on a show for their wife, you know?
So, they're not even married.
Exactly. That's even more selfless. Men, let your wife be cucked. Cuck your wife. Cuck your wife.
Okay.
Slap that on a t-shirt and throw it on the Patreon. That'll boost our numbers.
He holds Anne's hand. He kisses her hand. She's like, I need to go get Robbie. Also, they're both eating dinner. Where's Robbie?
Well, that's what she has to go regurgitate her dinner into his mouth like a mama bird.
I do think it is important to know that the world's best babysitter shows a lot of... Well, we never see the world's best babysitter, but we can be sure that they do use the world's best babysitter on this show. And that is television.
Yes.
Put your child in front of
the TV. I have not seen a single TV on this show since Grace tried to shank a bitch with a beer bottle.
Well... Yeah, I guess not.
You can't tell me all these fuckers are reading.
Well, you know Ashley is watching The Twilight Zone.
Yes, but we don't see it happen.
Okay. I can't get into this. So, Ricky calls George. There's a fight about the couch because, you know, Ricky's like, we can just put the bed in the living room, but George doesn't want, you know, them to advertise that they're sleeping together. And Ricky's like, well, I don't want to take this because I don't want to feel obligated to marry her because you gave this to us. And George is like, well, you should be married. Think about John. It's for his good. Oh, his own good. Anne and Robbie come back. They talk about Ashley. She hasn't gotten a job yet. Are we surprised?
Nope.
And he's like, oh my goodness, because Mimsy's in the guest room and Robbie's in his room, there's literally no place for me to sleep except with my dick between your legs.
And she says, there's plenty of room for your dick between those cushions on that pull-out couch. if you put a sandwich bag full of Vaseline between the cushions, you won't know the difference, I promise.
Fuck you.
What?
I was gonna say the only pulling out he'll be doing tonight.
Oh, that's good. That's really good. Wait, can I tell you something? No, I'm not gonna. I will not reveal that on the pod. Never mind.
Great. So it's then just, we.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Never mind.
Okay. Then we go to a bench. There's a train passing, and it's being very loud and rude right now.
Was that in the show, or was that in real life?
In real life.
Oh, we're getting to the part where I had to pause it and see if there was more coming.
Yeah. So, I'm just going to talk over the train. Ben is sitting on a bench in, like, a park with Mr. Bear. He has just gotten a six-pack of beer. With his fake ID from Joe Hampton.
I was just going to say, do we think it's the fake ID from Joe Hampton? Like, how did he get this beer?
Absolutely.
Are we going to address this? Are we going to talk about it? Are we going to think about it ever? No, yeah. It just happens. He's really pulling a Jack right now.
He really is. I mean,
just
he's not on
in a public
steps
location.
Of the church, but...
Why did Jack turn to alcoholism? I can't remember.
Maybe because Grace's dad died?
I think it was before that, though.
Maybe. Maybe it's because Grace wouldn't let him hit that.
That's why I turned to alcohol.
Yeah. So, Ben basically comes to terms with the fact that he was a bad guy before. He's, like, very sad. And he says that he wishes he hadn't said any of that stuff to Adrian, but now he has, and he has to live with it, and all the other stuff he's done. And then there's, like, a slow pan out with, like, the music, like, fading out from there. And it goes, like, black, and you're like, end of the episode. No.
10 more minutes coming.
What if we did a drastic tonal shift after a commercial break? To now, Daniel and Grace are on her bed, like, making out, and Daniel wants her to, like, come over to his apartment, which, like, involves Grace telling her mom that, you know, Daniel's in college and he has his own place. And she's like, well, I want to thank you for helping my friend. And Daniel's like, your friend who just lost a baby and is trying to have another baby. And your other friend who...
Wait, you're missing the best thing. When he says that, Grace goes...
Yeah.
Ow. Oh, I scared Linus.
And then Daniel is like... Daniel is scandalized because Amy and Ricky have a baby and they live together and they're not married.
Daniel's such a prude.
Yeah. And he says, like, friends are a reflection of you. So, like, what do Grace's friends say about her?
And Grace says, we're just three gals who like sex.
Yeah. And one of us is more responsible than the other two.
Bitch move, Grace, but I respect it.
Yeah, and Daniel says he doesn't want babies for a long time, and Grace is like, me either. She's on the pill, he has condoms. And he's like, now we have to figure out how we feel about each other.
Which, if I can say, is the exact conversation that Grace tried to have last episode that Daniel was like, whoa, slow down, cowgirl.
Yeah. He says that he's not sure it's enough that Grace, like, likes him and he wants more. And he then calls her a fickle girl and kisses her on the cheek.
What the hell is up with this?
Daniel has been talking to Reverend Stone.
Whose vocabulary lesson taught all these men the word fickle in the past 2 weeks?
Honestly. And then they, like, go downstairs. She's like, I'll walk you out, whatever. And he says, don't be angry with me because I think you're a little crazy.
You don't need to say that, my boy. You don't need to say that.
Yeah. She says she's a Christian. Whatever. Okay. This is when he's like, I think you told me that in the middle of, and she does the thing again where she's like,
she goes,
yeah.
Which again, I would love to talk to the director and Megan Park just to see what was going on there.
Yeah.
Let me into the actor's studio, you know?
Yeah. So Jack walks in on them kissing goodbye. He's mad. Daniel leaves. Jack and Grace have a conversation. He tells her he broke up with Madison because he's still in love with her. Oh my God.
Wow, shocker. Who could have seen it coming?
The
wow.
Will they, won't they that absolutely no one cares about.
The will they, won't they that stopped being interesting 3 episodes in.
Yeah. Grace proclaims that she has a boyfriend and she loves him. She says, I'm in love with Daniel. Daniel peeks his head back into the kitchen and says, that's more like it. And then he shimmies out of his pants and they have sex on the kitchen table.
That would be really... Oh. She'd be dipping her finger in more than cookie dough.
You, I hate that that was a part of the show. We go to...
I love it.
We go to Jeff's restaurant. Ben shows up drunk. He's like, we're here, talking about him and Mr. Bear. He touches a woman's hair, compliments a man's tie.
I gotta say, I've been there, Ben. Like, that was kind of me if you went to our college bar basically every night of the week senior year. So, like, I get it.
Yeah. He says that honesty is the way out of his marriage. And then he, like, passes out on the floor. And Leo's like, he's mourning.
Oh.
Sure. We go to the Juergens house. Ricky shows up with laundry. Amy is there doing homework. They fight about the couch. And she's like, I didn't want to come home because I didn't want to sleep on, like, our new bed for the first time with you angry at me. And Ricky says he just doesn't like surprises. And then Amy, like... is at home even though she promised she wouldn't go there, but I think this is like different circumstances
for sure. And like Amy doesn't really fight for to be recognized as different circumstances. She kind of rolls over, which I'm not crazy about.
Yeah. And she asks Ricky to like please not have anything to do with Adrian, and he's like, who has the time, look at all this laundry, which is a funny line.
That was funny as hell. I giggled.
Yeah. She says it's too late to do laundry, let's just go home. And he's like, what if we stay here? Like, I'll do laundry, you go to bed. We've never done anything in your room. Wink, wink, wink.
That is actually, nowadays that's third base, is fucking on your childhood bed.
Amy walks away, and it is revealed that Ricky, like, saved the message from Adrian. He didn't delete it like he said. And the message says, hi, Ricky. I've been thinking about you. I know you've been thinking about me. Good night, Ricky.
Where does this come from? This makes no sense.
Who knows? Then, the last scene of this episode, back to Rolling in the Deep by Adele. Only the first verse.
Again, we don't even hear the pre-chorus.
Adrian has punched a lot of holes in the wall.
Honestly, good for her.
She has ice on her hand. The music stops very abruptly, and that's the end of the episode.
I will say, like, the shots, they did kind of just make 2 music videos for Adele for free.
Yeah.
This part, it would go so hard if they would have built to the chorus.
Uh-huh.
But, again, Brenda Hampton doesn't know how a music drop is supposed to work.
Yeah. Anyway... that's it.
How do you feel? How's your heart after this?
Bad.
Okay, mine too. Just wanted to check.
I just have a problem with the whole, like, Adrian Ben thing where he's, like, doesn't take any responsibility for cheating on Amy with Adrian.
Yeah.
Like, he really acts like he was, like, not... I don't know.
Every issue in... Yeah, I don't know. I'm just really upset. Like, where does he get off saying that she... Like, she's had to distract herself from her grief to try to convince him to stay with her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all she's been thinking about has been him, when that really isn't something she should have had to think about.
Yeah.
I don't know. I am heartbroken for Adrian. I am ready to kill Ben. And I am watching a wood carving video on Instagram. So that's where I'm at.
I love your attention.
I'm sorry. I've been really scattered today because I did get 3 hours of sleep. And no, it's okay. I am dying a little bit.
It's cool.
I'm so sorry. Can you ever forgive me?
I do. I forgive you.
Oh, okay, sick. Then I'll keep doing exactly what I was doing and make no effort to change my ways.
So, this has been Secret Life of Two Gay American Teenagers. My name's Aaron.
My name's Jesse.
You can follow us on Instagram, Patreon, TikTok, Twitter, at Your Two Gay Friends. You can follow Jesse on Twitter, at GoJesse2K20. You can follow my bookstagram, at No Money, No Prospects. You can send us an email at slwithjesseandaaron@gmail.com. You can leave us a voice message on Anchor, and you can rate and review us on iTunes or Apple Podcasts and Spotify. That's true. I hope you don't punch any holes in your wall. And you have a good day.
And I hope that you're successful running up that hill and making that deal with God.
Yeah.
That's back in the cultural zeitgeist. I can say this shit and not be looked at like a pariah anymore. Will you knock it off down there?
I hope you get more than 3 hours of sleep tonight.
God, me too. I have to work tomorrow.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye. Sleep tight, my angels. That was really hot. Don't do that in front of me if you don't want me to be like a little bit, just a little bit horned up for the app, you know? Like, you really tripped my trigger today.
Okay. This episode aired to 2.6.
My bangers and mash are getting a little bit too firm. They're served al dente, if you know what I'm saying.
This episode aired. Don't.
I just wanted to make sure you understood. I was saying my cock is hard. Was that clear?
Jesse, we hired a new HR person.
Oh, who is it?
Why was my instinct to say your mom?
God, I hope not. I would be the victim of a late-term abortion.
They did just approve that up to age 26?
Yeah, as long as you're on... I think the rule is, like, if you're on your parents' insurance, they can take you off of it, if you know what I'm saying.